Today is week 3 of our Mastermind series. And as I shared with you last week, I am excited about this series because I believe that if you will apply what you learn in this series, if you'll take the truth of God's word and you apply it to your life and you use it in the way that you think and the way that you allow your mind to operate, you will see life change. Change your thinking, change your life. So last week, we ended with challenging you this past week to take the 2 tools that we gave you to put in your toolbox to help master your mind and to put them into practice. What we encouraged you to do was, number one, to identify the number one stronghold that is holding you back. And then the second was to name the truth. Name the truth from God that will demolish that stronghold and to put it into practice. What we said was our predominant thinking determines the direction of our life. Those things that you give predominant space in your mind and in your thought process will determine the direction of your life. So the question we have to answer is, what are we going to think on in life? Are we going to think on the things of the flesh, or are we going to think on the things of the spirit? Are we going to think on the negative things, or are we going to think on the positive things? Are we going to think on the things that worry us, or are we going to think on the things that give us peace? Last week, we began in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn there again today. We're actually going to go a little bit deeper in Romans chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, I'm using the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. You can go there on the YouVersion Bible app, your physical Bible, or it's going to be on the screen. So once again, Romans chapter 8, let's look at verses 5 through 7 and not only be reminded about how we started this discussion last week, but also let's look at how further Paul goes in this discussion. For those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the things of the Spirit. Now, the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. The mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. Paul taught that those who live according to the flesh have set their minds on the things of the flesh. Wednesday, during our Family Connect live gathering, I talked about how you can set things in concrete, how you can set things on a firm foundation. And so here, what Paul is essentially saying is, if we are living according to the flesh, we have anchored our minds on the things of the flesh. And if we are living according to the Spirit, we have anchored our mind, we have set our mind on the things of the flesh. Your predominant thoughts, your predominant thinking determines the direction of your life. You can't have a positive life when you have a negative mindset. You can't think on negative things and have a positive life. You can't be worried and full of anxiety and to dwell on those things and anchor your life in those things and have a life that's at peace. You can't always be thinking on the fearful things, what might happen, what might be, the things that you can't control, the things of tomorrow that's not happening right now. If you set your mind on fearful things, you won't walk in faith. And on we could go about how if we set our mind on one thing, it's not going to lead us to the opposite. So today, this is what I want you to take away with you. We're keeping with the theme that our predominant thoughts determine the direction of our life. That's the overarching thoughts for these coming weeks. But also today, I want you to write this down. I want you to take it with you. We've provided a sermon outline at newpassion.family. You can go and download that. Take some notes. Go ahead and take some notes if you don't have that. Download it later and fill in the blanks. But take this with you today. It's this: a healthy mind must be filled with healthy things. A healthy mind must be filled with healthy things. Craig Rochelle is the pastor of Life Church, and Life Church is the church who provides series like this for churches to utilize within their own church. We like to use them maybe once or twice a year, make them our own, but also it's a good template to learn some things for ourselves, some good healthy series that we can apply in our own churches that we believe would be a benefit to you. Well, Craig Rochelle was sharing how living a healthy life goes far beyond just going to the gym and working out. That's one way to get physically healthy. You can go lift some weights and things like that. But a healthy lifestyle goes well beyond what you do with your body, what you do at the gym. It also involves what you put into your body, what you consume. So to have a healthy life, it's not just about going to the gym and running on a treadmill or lifting some weight. It also involves what you are eating and what you're putting into your body. It's both of those things. Well, Craig Groeschel practices what he preaches. He is the specimen of health. Like, when you see him in person, he looks healthy. He practices what he preaches. My kids have gone to the same summer camp that some of his kids have gone to over the last several years. And so I've been just a number of feet away from him, just like less than 10 feet. And this guy is ripped. He could play Superman. I mean, just his build, how strong he looks. And so he practices what he preaches. And what he preaches is that if you're going to be healthy, if you're going to look like him, it's going to involve what you put into your body, but also what you do with your body. So it goes beyond, when it comes to our thinking, it goes beyond just what we do in taking the negative thoughts or the worrisome thoughts or the deceptive thoughts or the lying thoughts. It goes beyond just taking those captive, and it goes beyond destroying the strongholds, and it goes into what we also put into our mind and what we put into our body. Well, Paul here tells us that in verse 6, the mindset of the flesh is death. So to set our minds on the things of the flesh lead us to death. It leads us, our lives, to paths of destruction. As we talked about last week, some of our thinking, it leads us to paths of paralyzation where we're stuck, where we can't move any further because we believed a lie. And every time we get to that point in our life, and maybe our minds go to what our parents said to us or what an ex-spouse said to us or what a former boss said to us or what somebody said to us growing up, then we get to that point and we can't move any further because we're paralyzed. Or we start worrying about things, or we start worrying and becoming fearful of things, and we get to a certain point in our thinking and we're paralyzed. We can't move beyond that. We talked about that, how the road and the pathway to my parents' house had two paths, one that has been cut through a natural path, and then the other, which is full of loose sand, and a lot of people get stuck there. And so to anchor our minds and to have a mindset of the flesh will lead us to death. It will lead our lives to chaos. And so he says here, the mindset of the flesh is death. So as we dwell on the things of the flesh, it will lead to death. That could lead to death, not only our spiritual death, it could keep us in that spiritual death, but it also can lead to relational death. Depending on where you let your mindset go, depending on what you think on, then you could get to the place that you cause chaos and destruction in your mind or in your relationship. You could be in a relationship where someone, because of their thinking, because their thinking is consumed with the things of the flesh or negativity or anxiety or whatever that looks like, it's causing chaos in your marriage and in your home. And so to dwell on the things of the flesh lead to death. It could be a death of finances. It could lead to chaos in all kinds of areas. It does not lead to good things. And some of you watching know that because you are the product of that. You have lived through that. You've lived in a home through that. And you've seen it at play in someone's life. And for others, you're dealing with it in your own life. And you're trying to find out why things are chaotic. You're trying to find out why things are such a mess. You're trying to find out why you have no freedom, why you're miserable. And yet, the scripture tells us that if our mind is set or anchored on the things of the flesh, it leads to death. Then he goes on, the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. So as we anchor our minds and as we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, it leads us to life and peace. God is life. And so as we set our minds on the things of God, on His ways, on His instructions, on his desires, on all of the things that he leads us to, all of the things in his word, all of the things that the Spirit would lead us to the fruits of the Spirit, to the pathways of righteousness. As we pursue those things and as we set our mind on those things, it leads us to life and it leads us to peace and tranquility or calmness. It leads us to a place where we can be at rest and our minds can be at rest, our anxieties can be at rest, where we can be at peace and we can have life. And so you see that contrast, that to set your mind on one thing leads to death. To set your mindset on one thing leads to chaos. But to set your mindset on the things of God is going to lead to life and to peace. Look at verse 7 with me. The mindset of this flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it is unable to do so. So the deceptive mindset, the impure mindset, the negative mindset, the toxic mindset, the worrisome mindset of anxiety and all of those things are hostile to God. They are enemies of God. They do not correspond with God. They do not unite with God, and they're not going to lead you in a godly way. The Bible says that they are hostile to him. They are hostile to his ways. All of them come from the flesh. All of them oppose God, and they oppose God's way. So you can't set your mind on those things. You can't anchor your mind and your thoughts to those things, and they lead you to life. You cannot anchor your mind and allow those things to consume your mind and lead to peace. It does not work that way. They're the polar opposites. They do not work together. So you have to be able to identify what you're anchoring your mind in. But you also have to identify what you're putting into your mind, because a mind anchored in the flesh won't submit itself to God or his ways. The scripture says that it is unable to yield itself to God. The mind that is set on flesh is unable to yield itself to God's commands. So if you're consuming things that lead to negativity and lead to anxiety and lead to worry and lead to fear and lead to deception and lead you to unhealthy places, your mind is unable to follow the laws of God, to follow the instructions of God, to follow the ways of God. It is incapable. Just like your body is incapable of digesting certain things, your mind is unable to be set on one thing and to pursue another. It's unable to be anchored to one thing and to lead you in a way that will be honoring and glorifying to God. You cannot be anchored to the things of the flesh and reach God's ways. Could you imagine that if I asked Craig Rochelle, hey, how did you get so physically fit? How did you get so healthy? And he told me that every day he starts his day for breakfast having a shake. And so I'm like, okay, cool. I can do that. So every day I'm determined to get up and go to the gym, and I'm determined to go work out. And so I get up and I make myself a large strawberry milkshake. Chances are, by the time that I get to the gym and I work out, my results at the end of that are going to be completely different than what Craig Rochelle's getting if he is consuming a protein shake or a breakfast shake that is designed for people going to lift weights and to work out. Not all things are made equally. All shakes are not made equally. Everything in life is not made equally. I'm not going to get the same results as he's getting because it's not the same thing. It's not the same kind of shake. In the health world, shakes are kind of universal for understood as being like a protein shake or some kind of health shake to get your body going for a workout or for a diet. And so it's not the same thing. Everything that you set your mind on is not created equally. A healthy mind must be filled with healthy things. For some, people will say, you know, music for me when I'm going through a difficult time and when I'm going through a hard time, it means so much to me. It soothes my soul. It lifts me up. It does something good in my life. But, you know, not all music is created equally. Not all music is going to lead in the same pathway. parents, if you're thumping and bumping music that is derogatory towards women and it's promoting lifestyles that are that oppose God, it's glorifying and justifying sin, and it's doing those things. Number one, don't be surprised if your mindset in the midst of difficulty, or your mindset in the midst of temptation, or your mindset in different scenarios in life don't lead you in similar paths. But also don't be shocked as your children are raised under that, listening to that, having their mind set on that, having that placed within their life, having to consume that in their thinking. Don't be shocked when they follow in those same paths. Don't be shocked when they're talking the same way, when they're acting the same way, when they grow up following in those pathways. Why? Because what we put into our mind is just as important what we do with our mind. It's just as important what we're putting into our thinking and what we're putting into our mind as it is capturing those strongholds, capturing those negative thoughts, taking them captive and destroying the strongholds. That's important. That's kind of like lifting the weights in the gym, but you also have to put the right nutrition inside. You have to put the right things in your mind. And I'm not being legalistic. I'm not being fundamentalist here, but it is important. It is scriptural that what you set your mind on matters. What you put into your mind matters. It matters for the direction of your life. So for some, you know, it may be music, entertainment, books, those type things. You're putting in the wrong stuff, and you're shocked and surprised when your life is not following after the ways of God, when you're not finding life, and you're not finding peace, and you're not finding contentment, and you're not finding joy, and you're not finding faith, and you're not finding these things. Why? You're not putting it into your mind. You're not setting your mind on the things of the Spirit. You're not anchoring your mind in the things of the Spirit. For some, you expose your minds to things that elevate sexually loose lifestyles. It glorifies and justifies extramarital affairs and makes those look like they're okay, or other sexual sins. And then you act shocked when it happens in your marriage, when it happens in your home, when your children get married and they're not faithful to their spouse. But yet you're consuming those things. You're exposing your family to them as if it's okay, thinking that the external has no effect on the internal, and yet it does. It's no different than what we consume with our bodies. It's no different than what we put inside of our bodies and then want to go work out and wonder why we're not getting results. Some of us aren't getting results because of the things we're putting inside our minds. Some of you are getting stuck on the pathway because of the things you've put into your mind, or the things that you've allowed to create a pathway in your mind. So some of you are headed in the wrong direction because of the things that you have decided and made a choice to anchor your mind to. For some, it may be the environments that you place yourself in. You cannot place yourself in environments that mock God and His ways and expect your life to move towards life and peace, to expect to move towards those things. It doesn't work that way. It's important what you put into your mind. I heard several years ago, and I won't try to quote it because I'll get it wrong, but the main idea of what he was saying, Rick Warren was talking about several years ago at his conference called Radicalis, that one of the ways that Satan gets us to justify sin, not only in our life, but also just in general, in the world around us, change our worldview, to soften our stance against worldviews and different things around us, is to get us to laugh at it through comedy. And because when we laugh at it, it drops our guard, and it's not that big of a deal. It's just funny. And so all of a sudden, we start justifying everything with a laugh, or because it's funny, or it's entertainment, or it's humorous. And so on the internet, hey, look, there's a lot of funny memes. There's a lot of funny video bits. There's all kinds of great things on the internet. And if we're not careful, we will allow our minds to justify things that grieve God, that dishonor Him, that do not bring glory to Him. And yet in the process, we are saturating our minds with the wrong things. And because it's funny, we justify it. Because it's funny, we look the opposite way. And for those of us as parents, I keep going back to this today, but it's important because we are the primary disciplers of our children's life. If we set our minds on the things of the flesh, if we set our things on the minds of the Spirit, then we're setting a display, one for the negative or one for the good. And our children see that. Our children watch the decisions that we make. Our children watch the things that we say and listen to those things. They see how we reason and how we make decisions based on our own thinking. So as you anchor yourself to the flesh, you are setting an example of what is approvable and what is right for your children. So don't grow up, see them grow up. Don't look years from now and be shocked if they walk away from God. To be shocked if they follow a path that is the opposite of what you have semi-followed. For some, it's priorities. For some, you have set in your mind what priorities look like for yourself or for your children, and you're helping them set their minds on that when they get older. And when they get older and can make the decisions for themselves, they will make decisions based on the priorities that you have set before them. And so you have to help them train and think on the right things now to be able to reason what is the top priorities and what is important, that God's ways are the top priority. If we don't saturate our minds with those things, then you will regret it as your children get older. But so many people do so, and they don't understand why their children walk away from God. They'll claim scriptures like train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. Just because you have your child in church on Sunday doesn't mean that that's training them up in the way that they should go. Are they involved in other things beyond that? Do you have other voices speaking into their life? Do you teach them that church and discipleship group and all of those different things that are provided for students, even through the church, are a top priority in their life? Or do we promote other things, other extracurricular activities, other opportunities, and allow them to think that those things are a top priority? It all starts in the mind. It's what you put in your mind, and it's what you make as a priority. So what are you teaching them is a priority? And what about growing on their own at home, outside of church, serving the kingdom of God on their own outside of church? Are you demonstrating that? Are you helping them to anchor their mind on the truth and helping them saturate their mind on those things? Because what we set our mind on will determine, and what our predominant thoughts are will determine the direction of our life. If we want a healthy mind, we have to fill it with healthy things. So what are you setting your mind on? What are you putting inside of you? Are they worldly things, or are they eternal things? Are they negative things, or are they positive things? Are they worrisome things, things of anxiety, or are they positive things? Are they fearful things, or are they faith-filled things? Or are you consuming your life and your mind? Are you anchoring your thoughts on the 24-hour news cycle because it's ongoing over and over and over again? And the political arguing and the commentary. It's not just news anymore. It's the biased, political, divided arguing over and over, one at the other. And so what do you think we do when we get into the real world? We don't look at each other as brothers and sisters anymore. We don't look at each other as fellow citizens. We don't look at each other as church family. We look at each other as political foes because we've set our mind on those things all throughout the week. I barely watch any of the major news networks anymore because it's not news anymore. I can get it. I can get the basics of what's happening in other places, but I don't need other people telling me through their argument, or you know, their shows of arguments and their bickering back and forth what I need to believe. I can help filter that for myself. I can look through at God's word and filter that for myself. I can reason for myself. I don't need someone yelling at a TV screen or yelling at a fellow person on a TV screen to tell me what to believe. But yet we saturate our mind with those things, and then we wonder why we can't get along in this world, and we can't get along as a country, and we can't get along as a church, and we can't get along as people. It's because of what we're putting in our mind. So are you saturating your mind? Are you anchoring your mind to the news cycle, to the political arguing, to pornography, to sexual and crude jokes, to God-opposing movies and music and books and those things that we consume in our minds? A healthy mind must be filled with healthy things. What you think on, Caroline Leaf talks about this. We talked about it last week. We talked about it on Wednesday. What you set your mind on, what you think about, physically changes your mind. If your mind is set on the things of toxicity and uncertainty and dishonesty and negativity and worrisome and all of these things that you can set your mind on, then it's time to reprogram your thinking. It's time to reprogram your brain. And you do have the power to do that. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to reprogram your life. He tells us here one more time, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed. So our life is going to be transformed. Our thoughts are going to be transformed. Our way of thinking, our way of life, the direction of our life, everything about us is going to be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, or you could say the reprogramming of your mind, so that you may discern, so that you'll know. Why? Because the mind that is set on the things of the Spirit are living for the Spirit. The things that are set on the things of the flesh live for the flesh. And so as we have our mind renewed, as we think on the things of the Spirit, then we can discern. We can understand. We can know the difference between the contrast. We can discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So you have the power through the Holy Spirit to reprogram your thinking. And as you reprogram your thinking on the things of the Spirit and on the things of God, it will help you discern the will of God. It will reprogram your mind. It will transform your life. The psalmist says this in Psalms 119, 9 through 6. It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? How can I walk in the ways of the Spirit? How can I remain pure in my life? How can I, before my God, remain honorable, remain in a place that I bring Him glory? How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, he answers it, by keeping your word. I have sought you with all of my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Lord, may you be blessed. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I proclaim all the judgments from your mouth. I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. The psalmist wrote that he would treasure God's word in his heart to avoid sin. That he would treasure it. That he would pursue after and seek after God and seek after his ways to remain pure. These are the ways that we not only take every thought captive and destroy every stronghold, as we talked about last week, but this is how we download the positive, the God-honoring, the ways of the Spirit. This is how we download the new information, the healthy information, the God-honoring information into our minds, into our souls. We seek God through His Word. That's what the psalmist said. I will seek you. I will learn of your ways. We delight in His Word. We memorize His Word. We obey His Word. We meditate on His Word, and then we actively think on it. He says that I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways. So I will actively just think on the ways of God. I want us to close today with Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 6 through 8. This is what Paul wrote. He says in the New Living Translation, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. So he's telling us here, don't give in to worry. Don't give in to anxiety. Don't think on those things. Don't dwell on those things. Don't anchor your mind to those things. Instead, he says, we're shifting our thinking by praying. We're shifting our thoughts into prayer. We're going to tell God what we need. We're going to turn our thoughts to thanksgiving. We're not only going to tell Him what we need, but we're also going to thank Him for how He has provided for us in the past. One of the ways that we grow in gratitude, and one of the ways we grow in faith, and one of the ways that we can see anxiety leave our lives is instead of worrying about what we can't do and thinking on those things and dwelling on those things, we're going to shift our thinking to remembering who God is and what God can do, where we can't do something and we're powerless and it's out of our ability, God can do it. And so we're going to turn our thinking, shift our thinking from the worry, from the anxiety, to who God is, to what God can do on our behalf. And so we're going to thank Him for what He's already done. Because in those moments where we fear and we worry, to remember who God is, to remember what He's done, will help us to think on the things of truth and the things that we can anchor our life to remember who God is and to remember His power, to remember His mercies, to remember that He is our strong tower, to remember that He is our provider, to remember He is our protector, to remember that He goes before us, to remember that He is outside of time, to remember that He's our firm foundation, to remember that He has the power to resurrect the dead, to remember that He is our Father and He has adopted us as His children, to remember that He loves us and He gave His only begotten Son for us. As we think on those things and as we turn our attention to thanksgiving, it reminds us of those truths. It reminds us of exactly who God is and what He has done on our behalf. So we're going to shift our thinking to praying. We're going to shift our thinking to gratitude, to thanksgiving. Then you will experience God's peace. As we thank God, as we pray to God, we experience peace. He brings us to peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So to think on the things of the Spirit leads us to peace. God's peace will guard our hearts. It will protect our minds as we live out in Christ Jesus. So it's knowing God's word, thinking on His word, and doing God's word. So this week, I want you to really put that into practice. I want you to know God's word, get into God's word, study it, spend time in it, memorize it, know God's word, think on His word. So last week, we're identifying the stronghold, the number one stronghold that's holding us back. Then we're going to name the truth. So we got to know God's word. Then we're going to think on God's word. Then we're going to do God's word. We're going to either trust in it and we're going to place our hope and faith in it. We're going to cling to it. Or if it's something we need to put into practice, it's something we need to leave every weight behind, it's something that we need to shed the sin in our lives, whatever it is, we're going to leave it behind. We're going to do God's word. We're going to be obedient to it. Because as we live in the truth, it becomes a part of who we are and that default path. And then the final verse, he says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing." This, I want you to grasp this. I want you to get this because this is the one final thing. This is the grand finale. He says, "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." So this serves both as a checklist as our mind goes to the negative things, the toxic things, the untrue things, the putting ourselves down, the beating ourselves down, the thoughts that come to our mind where someone else beat us down, the lies from Satan, the lies that says that you're not enough, the lies that say that you'll never have enough, the lies that tell you you're not worthy, that you're not worth being loved, all of those things. This is going to serve as a checklist as to whether or not those things come from God, whether or not those things are of God, whether or not those things are true. But also it serves as a checklist to intentionally fill our minds with the truth of God's word, those healthy things. Because a healthy mind needs to be filled with healthy things. So this is something we can go down, and I want you to really pay attention, take some notes, because this is a checklist that you can intentionally dispute the lies in your life, dispute those beliefs about what your mind starts telling you, those thoughts and those beliefs. You can start disputing them, and you can start claiming the truth of God's word. You can go to this and say, and go through this checklist and say, is it this? Is it this? Is it this? If not, I need to change my thinking. I need to think on what is true, what is honorable. And so I want you to just pay attention to this. Write it down. If you miss it, go back and watch in the archives. Join us at another broadcast of this service, or it'll be on demand. And go back and really just saturate in this and think on it and get it inside of you so that your thinking can be healthy. Your thinking can be based on God's word. So the first question is the thought true? So that thought that popped in your mind that says you're not enough, is it true? the thought that popped in your mind that says you're not worthy to be loved, is it true? And so if you think it's true, how do you determine it's true? By what basis do you determine it's true? Because somebody told you that? Because it popped in your mind? What does God say about it? Does he say it's true? What does his word say about it? What does the Holy Spirit say about it? What do other believers in your life affirm about that? Who told you that it's true? So is it true? The second question is, does this thought honor people? Does it honor yourself? Does it honor God? Is it honorable? Does it honor yourself? Does it honor people? Does it honor God? Is this thought right? Or some versions use the word just. So is it morally good? Is it fair? Is it fair to yourself? Is it fair to other people? Is it right? Is it morally right? Is it just? The next question is this thought pure? Should your child repeat it? Is what you're thinking, is that thought that popped in your mind, is it something that is pure, something you would want your child to think? Would you want it to become public? Would you want it to be made known to everyone? Would you want it to be on a billboard? Is this thought lovely? Is there beauty in it? Or is it just full of darkness and despair? Is it of the light? Jesus is the light. He brings the light. He illuminates the darkness. So is it full of darkness? Is it full of despair? Is it full of chaos? It is. Or is it full of beauty? Is it full of the light of God? Is this thought admirable? Is this thought admirable? Would people commend you, compliment you, or admire you because of that thought? If they knew it, would they commend you for it? Would they compliment you and say, man, that's such a great thought. That's such a great idea. Or would they admire you as being someone of high esteem and high honor because of that which you believe and that which you think? Is this thought excellent? Is it free of sin? Is it hypocritical of God's nature, who God is, what he calls us to? Is it free from questionable activities? So as those things pop in your mind, maybe it's lust, or maybe you want to send, jump into someone, maybe it's a guy or maybe it's a girl, depending on who you are. Maybe you want to jump in their DMs, but you're married, and you want to say inappropriate things to them. You want to say things that you should only be saying to your spouse, and yet you've got that thought of wanting to do that. Is it excellent? Is it hypocritical of God's nature? Is it hypocritical? Is it a betrayal of God's word? Is it free from questionable activities? Like what you're about to do, if your spouse knew about it, if your pastor knew about it, if your children knew about it, is it beyond questionable activities? As the Bible says, is it above reproach? Is this thought praiseworthy? Would God praise you for it? Would he honor you for it? Would other believers praise you for it? Is it something that is praiseworthy? Is it something that would bring honor and glory to God? Is it something that people would praise you in your own life? A healthy mind must be filled with healthy things. And so what are things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and worthy of praise that I can actively think on to reprogram my brain? This is what I want you to think about this week. That's what I want you to put into practice this week. I want you to know God's word. I want you to think on God's word. And I want you to do God's word. But in doing that, the exercise for your thinking as those thoughts pop in your mind, is this true? Is this honorable? Is this admirable? Is this excellent? Is this lovely? Is this right or just? Is this worthy of praise? To physically change my mind to move in the direction of God by default, my thoughts have to be on the things of the Spirit. It has to be on things of truth, not on the things of flesh, not on the things of lies. The mind that is set on the flesh leads to death. The mind that is set on the Spirit leads to life, and it leads to peace. Where have you set your mind? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the truth of your word, and we thank you that it gives us the ability to have a strong foundation to anchor our thoughts in. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that you have given us to help empower us to renew our minds, to reprogram our minds. And that is my prayer for anyone who is stuck or headed down the wrong path with negative, toxic, untrue thinking. I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would direct their thoughts back to the truth, that they would dispute those lies and those things that are leading them astray with the truth of your word. I thank you that we have truth, and I thank you that we can know it, and we can think on it, and we can do it. And I just ask that this week you would give us the strength and the ability to do that, to think on what is true, honorable, lovely, admirable, worthy of praise, excellent, all of those things. Help us to not only use that as a gauge to whether or not the thoughts that pop into our mind are thoughts of the spirit or if they're thoughts of the flesh. And then, God, help us to use it to actively think on those things that you desire of us. Help us to take our anxiety and to turn it into prayer, to turn it into thanksgiving. Help us as parents to be very aware of what we are consuming and what we are by default communicating to our children as being okay, as being the right path, as being of God when it's not. Help us to be discerning of those things and help us to always land on truth. God, if there's someone here that does not know you today, I pray that you would open their eyes to see you for who you are, open their heart to know you as Lord and Savior, and that today they would call out to you as their God and as claiming and professing and placing their faith in Jesus for salvation, and that today they would begin a new life in you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you placed your faith in Jesus for salvation and you asked him to save you during this service or you trusted in him, we want to help you take your next steps. If you would, go to our website, open a new browser, and type in newpassion.family, or on our church online platform right below this video, there is a banner that you can select that will take you to the same form that will let us know that you have trusted Jesus today. And we will get you some basic information to help you take your next steps. We want to celebrate you with you, and we want to welcome you to the family of God. So let us know if you made that decision. Today, we're going to close out this service with one final song. The worship team is back at the church, and so we're going to celebrate with them as we close out this service. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday right here at 10:30 or at 5 p.m. as we continue our Mastermind series. Let's go back to the church. We'll see you next week.